مبلغ for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success. Say, مبلغ for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success. Stay.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said that a person who sends 1,000 times daily durood or salutations or salawat upon me, he will not die till he sees his place in Jannah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salatun wa salaman alayka ya Sayyidi ya Rasulullah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah. Dearest Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madni channel, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, once again we are blessed with the opportunity to partake in this silsila of blessings of hadith. As usual, we will discuss few ahadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this program. Last week we discussed a hadith which is reported by Hazrat Ubada bin Samit radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But due to the lack of time, we were unable to finish the explanation of that particular hadith mubarakah. So inshallah azza wa jal, we will begin with the very hadith which we were discussing last week. Wa an Ubadah ibn Samit qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam man shahida la ilaha illa Allah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu وأن عيسى عبد الله ورسوله وابن أمته وكلمته ألقاها إلى مريم وروح منه والجنة والنار حق أدخله الله الجنة على ما كان من العمل متفق عليه. This means that this hadith is in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih al-Muslim. Hazrat Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu ta'ala reports that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, the one who pays evidence that there is no worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he has no partner and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his Rasul. Up to here we discussed, we explained this particular hadith mubarakah. And the last portion of Hadith Mubarakah we will discuss in today's silsila. Isa alayhi salam is a bondsman and Rasul of Allah Azza wa Jal. He is son of his slave, which is Hazrat Maryam radiallahu ta'ala anha. And he is Kalima, word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he is soul from Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal, and Jannat and Jahannam, or hell and heaven, are haq, mean they are true, they're there, they exist. To whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to put into Jannat, he will put him according to the level of his good deeds. Dearest Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani channel, this statement is very decisive and criterion, and it answers all the questions and objections of Christians and Jews, Because Christians believe and they say that Isa alayhi salam is son of Almighty Allah. And Hazrat Sayyidatuna Maryam radiallahu ta'ala anha is his wife. Na'udhu billah. And the Jews believe that Isa alayhi salam is not a messenger of Allah. And na'udhu billah, they created false accusation against Hazrat Maryam radiallahu ta'ala anha. So in this sentence, all their claims are being refuted. Because if Hazrat Isa alayhi salam had a father, why then his relationship is not towards his father? Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls him Isa bin Maryam? Isa, the son of Maryam. So wherever in Quran Kareem, or wherever in Hadith Mubarakah, his name is mentioned, in this way that Isa, the son of Maryam. So if he had a father, then his name would have been related to the father as everybody else's name is related to the fathers. So all their claims and their thoughts and false beliefs have been refuted in this Hadith Mubarakah. Hazrat Isa alayhi salam is called Kalimatullah in this Hadith Mubarakah. And we have heard this name over and over, that Isa alayhi salam is Kalimatullah. What it means? It means that when Hazrat Isa alayhi salam was born, he was created with the word Kun. Because with the permission of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal, Hazrat Jibreel Ameen alayhi salam, he blew on the chest of Hazrat Maryam radiallahu ta'ala anha, and he said Kun. Because his creation is with the word Kun, therefore he is called Kalimatullah, the word of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. Hazrat Adam alayhi salam is not called Kalimatullah because his body was made with the sand. Only his soul was put into his body with the word Kun, be. But as far as Hazrat Isa alayhi salam is concerned, his body and soul both are created with the word Kun. So therefore he is called Kalimatullah, not Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. Oh, the reason could be that Hazrat Isa alayhi salam is an embodiment of proof of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. Therefore he is called Word of Allah, referring to a proof of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. Oh, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam knew a word which he used to read and blow on the sick people and they will get cure, and he would blow that word on the dead people and they will become alive. For that reason, he is called Kalimatullah, the word of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. And we also learn from this part of the Hadith Mubarakah that the dam durood of Buzurgan-e-Deen, reading and blowing on the sick people, which is the normal practice of Buzurgan-e-Deen, is correct, because this is what Hazrat Isa alayhi salam used to do. Oh, there could be another reason. For example, when Hazrat Isa alayhi salam was born, immediately he read Kalima. What he said? La ilaha illallah, inni abdallah. So for that reason he is called Kalimatullah. And then in this Hadith Mubarakah, it is mentioned, Varuhum minhu. His ruh from him. So this min is not tab'idiyya. What it means? That this min does not give the meaning of portion or a share. So it does not mean that Isa alayhi salam is part of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. In reality, this min is ibtidaiya. It means that he has been created without the mean of sperm as every other human being is created. For that reason he is called Ruhullah, soul from Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla. And it is the title of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam because Hazrat Ruhul Ameen, Jibreel Ameen alayhi salam, blew on his mother and he was created. Now because of Hazrat Jibreel Ameen alayhi salam, his name is Ruhul Ameen, so Isa alayhi salam's name became Ruhullah. This could also be the reason. Oh, the reason is that Hazrat Isa alayhi salam used to blow on the dead people and put soul or ruh into them. For that reason he is called Ruhullah. So these are different reasons which ulama ikram have mentioned. So today we learn something very important. Why do we call Hazrat Isa alayhi salam Kalimatullah, and why do we call Hazrat Isa alayhi salam Ruhullah? And then it is mentioned in this hadith mubarakah that Jannat and Jahannam are haq. What is the meaning of haq? The meaning of haq is that they are there, they have been created, they are haq and they are true. Jannat and Jahannam are not imaginary things, they are realities. So this is the meaning of hadith mubarakah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put whomsoever into Jannat according to his status. So now, as far as according to his status or hard work or the amount of good deeds that he have done, that is for the people who get Jannat with kasb, with their hard works. But those who get Jannat with the ata or because of somebody else, they will be with them. For example, the wives of the prophets alayhimus salam, they will be with them in the Jannat in whichever station the prophets alayhimus salam are. And similarly, their children. May we be in the company of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and get that highest station in Jannatul Firdaus, inshallah azza wa jalla. Wa an Amr ibn al-As qala ataytu an-nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam faqultu ubsut yaminaka fali ubayika fabasata yaminahu faqabadtu yadi faqala malaka ya Amr قلت أردت أن أشتريت قال تشتريت ماذا قلت أن يغفر لي قال أما علمت يا عمر وأن الإسلام يهدم ما كان قبله وأن الهجرة تهدم ما كان قبلها وأن الحج يهدم ما كان قبله رواه مسلم. This hadith مبارك is reported from Hazrat Amr bin As radiallahu ta'ala. He says, I went into the holy court of beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, Ya Rasulullah, give me your hand so I can make bayat, I can pledge my allegiance. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forwarded his blessed hand towards me and I pulled my hand back. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Amr, what is this? Hazrat Amr bin As radiallahu ta'ala says that I said, I want to put a condition. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, what is that condition? He said, I want to be forgiven. Subhanallah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, O Amr, don't you know that Islam erases all the previous sins and hijrat demolishes all the previous sins and hajj also destroys all the previous sins. This hadith mubarakah is reported by Hazrat Imam Muslim radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Amr bin Al-As Sahmi Qarshi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, became Muslim in Madinatul Munawwara in the fifth year of Hijrah, together with Hazrat Khalid bin Walid and Hazrat Uthman bin Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And when he became Muslim, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam later on appointed him as governor of Amman. Then in the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he remained in the government of Islam. He is a conqueror of Egypt. And he passed away in Egypt at the age of 90, in 43 year of Hijrah, and he is buried there. In this Hadith Mubarakah, we learn that a bayat is mentioned. So what type of bayat was this which Hazrat Amr bin As radiallahu ta'ala anhu did? This was bayat of Islam. Because this was the way of Sahaba-e-Kiram, that when they used to revert into Islam, they would also take bayat. That means they would make a promise of steadfastness and istiqamat on the deen of Islam. As far as the bayat of repentance, bayat of taqwa, bayat of jihad, bayat of shahadat, and bayat on other matters are concerned, they are separate from this bayat, because Sahaba-e-Kiram used to do these type of bayats as well on the hands of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These days, the bayat we take on the hands of mashayikh, murshids, or piran-e-uzzam, that is called bayat of tawbah and bayat of taqwa. Because in this bayat, shaykh asks the murid to repent from their sins and then make a commitment that they will do the good things, they will do the right things. As normally we have heard Amir al-Sunnah, when he takes bayat, he says that I repent from all my previous sins and I will refrain from this and from that, and all the evils are mentioned. And then the commitment is also mentioned, that I perform my five times daily salat and I'll follow the laws of Sharia, etc., etc. That we learn from the teachings of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this was the way of Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in. And we also learn that it is sunnah to take bayat while giving your hand into the hand of your peer or murshid. However, if the crowd is very big and people are unable, it's not possible for everyone to give their hands into the hand of murshid, then verbally bayat can be taken. Ulama Ikram have written that bayat can be taken through a letter or even telephonic calls, emails, messages, any mode of communication, any form of communication can be used, because bayat is actually a deal. It's an offer and acceptance. So whichever way of communication is available, which is trustworthy, and people do their work and businesses through those modes of communications, they can be used, and bayat would be valid. And then we learn in this hadith mubarakah that Hazrat Amr bin As radiallahu ta'ala asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, give me your hand. And he pulled his hand back. Why did he do that? Was he being disrespectful to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? No, no way. The Sahabi Rasul will never be disrespectful towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rather, he was believing that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is Nabiyul Mukhtar. He is powerful with the grant of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. And he wanted something big at that time. And what was that? He wanted to be forgiven. Look at the aqeedah and the belief of Sahaba Ikram, whose job and whose work and whose authority is to forgive someone. It is the authority of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. But this Sahabi Rasul is sitting in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he says, Ya Rasulullah, I have got one condition and it is that I want to be forgiven. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him that you are forgiven because he was reverting into Islam, he was becoming Muslim. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, did you not hear, O Amr, that when a person becomes Muslim, all his previous sins are forgiven? So you are a clean sheet from today. Your sins are forgiven. Don't you worry about it. Alhamdulillah, all those people who become Muslims, they are free from sins. Of course, the rights of the people is something else that they still need to fulfill. But the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal are forgiven. Even when person migrates, makes hijrah from one place to another place, and that hijrah must be based on the pleasure of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal, not to make money. As a lot of people leave their countries and go to another country or go to a rich country, that's not an Islamic migration. So, real migration is that you leave your place, maybe it's difficult for you to practice upon your religion at that place, or maybe you want to go elsewhere and spread the deen of Islam and spread the kalima of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. So that is hijrah. So when someone does the hijrah, then what happens? All his previous sins are forgiven. And the third thing which is mentioned in this hadith mubarakah is that وَأَنَّ الْحَجَّ يَهْدِمُ مَا كَانَ قَبْلَهُ. And surely the hajj destroys and demolishes and erases all the sins which were committed before. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to make hajj over and over, and also give us tawfiq to make hijrah. Alhamdulillah, we are Muslims. Most of us are born in Muslim families. So we have been blessed with the ni'mat of Islam. But the other two blessings we can still achieve and attain, that we leave our loving and beautiful place where we are born and brought up and we reside and we have every comfort and luxury around us. We say goodbye to all of them for the sake of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. And that is hijrah. And similarly, is the Hajj. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to make Hajj over and over. An Mu'adhin qala, Qultu ya Rasulullah, akhbirni bi'amalin yudkhilni al-jannata wa yubaidni minan nari. Qala laqad sa'alta an amrin azimin, wa innahu la yasirun ala man yassarahu Allah ta'ala alayhi, ta'budullaha wa la tushrik bihi shay'an. وتقيم الصلاة وتؤتي الزكاة وتصوم رمضان وتحج البيت. ثم قال ألا أدلك على أبواب الخير؟ الصوم جنة والصدقة تطفئ الخطيئة كما تطفئ الماء النار، وصلاة الرجل في جوف الليل. ثم تلا تتجافى جنوبهم عن المضاجع حتى بلغ يعملون. قال ألا أدلك برأس الأمر وعمودهِ وذروتِ سنامهِ؟ قلت بلى يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال رأس الأمر الإسلام وعموده الصلاة وذروة سنامه الجهاد. ثم قال ألا أخبرك بملاك ذلك كله؟ قلت بلى يا نبي الله. فأخذ بلسانه فقال كف عليك هذا. فقلت يا نبي الله وإنا لمؤاخذون بما نتكلم به. قال ثقلتك أمك يا معاذ وَهَلْ يَكُبُّ النَّاسَ فِي النَّارِ عَلَى وَجُوهِهِمْ أَوْ مَنَاخِرِهِمْ إِلَّا حَسَائِدُ أَلْسِنَتِهِمْ رَوَاهُ أَحْمَدُ وَالتِّرْمِزِيُّ وَإِبْنُ مَاجَةَ. This hadith is reported from Hazrat Ma'ad ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He says, I said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell me something, an action which will take me to Jannat or let me enter Jannat and keep me far away from Jahannam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Ma'az, you have asked something very big. Yes, upon whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easy, then it is easy. You should worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Establish salat, pay zakat, which is poor due. Fast in the month of Ramadan. Make tawaf of Kaaba, mean Hajj. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, should I not tell you the doors of goodness? Fasting is shield, and charity destroys or kills the sins as water kills the fire. And to get up in the middle of the night and perform your salat, that is tahajjud. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited this ayah kareema, that those who separate their sides from their beds, right up to Ya'malun, that's where the ayat ends. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, should I not tell you the head of everything and the pillar and hump of the height of everything? He says, Ya Rasulullah, please tell me. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied that the head of everything is Islam and the pillar is Salat or Namaz and the height of hump is Jihad, struggle in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, should I not tell you the root of everything? I said, Ya Rasulullah, please tell me. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam caught his blessed tongue and he said, by indicating towards it, stop this one. I said, Ya Rasulullah, is there accountability on things that we talk? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, O Ma'az, your mother should cry on you. There are no other reasons than the outcomes of this tongue that more people are put in Jahannam upside down. This hadith mubarakah is reported by Imam Ahmad and Imam Tirmizi and Ibn Majah. Subhanallah. In this hadith mubarakah, we learn many beautiful Madani flowers. First of all, this is the incident of Ghazwa-e Tabuk, the Battle of Tabuk. Hazrat Ma'az ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu was with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was middle of the day and it was very hot and all Sahaba Ikram were resting under trees at different places and he had the opportunity to be with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he took full advantage of that opportunity that he is with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he asked something very nice. And what did he say? Said, Ya Rasulullah, tell me an action which will take me to Jannat. Now, if you think realistically, who can take someone to Jannat other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So this means that this is a metaphorical relationship towards an action which will become cause to enter the Jannat. So we learn a very important principle from this hadith e mubarakah that a metaphorical relationship is correct. So if we say that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives jannat or he saves people from jahannam, that is 100% correct, because this is metaphorical relation of this word to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In reality, in haqiqat, the word relates to Almighty Allah azza wa jal. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives jannat with the grant of Almighty Allah azza wa jal, it is in reality given by Almighty Allah azza wa jal. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, "Oh Ma'az, you have asked something very big." And what was that big thing that's mentioned? Is that you have asked how to save God yourself from the fire of hell and how to get jannat, and these are amongst the big bounties and the ni'mats of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. Therefore, you have asked something very big. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that, upon whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easy, He makes it easy. What it means? It means that Allah has made it easy upon me, so I can tell you, others cannot tell you. How Allah has made easy upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? By granting him the knowledge of unseen, because this question relates to something which is unseen. And at so many occasions in Quran Kareem and in Ahadith Mubarakah, we learn and we understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted His beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam vast knowledge of unseen. Oh, the other reason is that upon whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easy, then he will do those actions which will take him to Jannat. Our reality is that we want to be at the bottom. We want to be at low. We are created from sand. You take a stone from sand, it will stay on the ground unless somebody comes and lifts that stone up. That's our position, that's our condition. That we are at low and we want to remain at low. Then our teacher, he comes and he uplifts us, he teaches us. Our ustad, our pira murshid, they teach us, they uplift us. Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Almighty Allah azza wa jal, with his fadl, blessings, mercy, we are uplifted. So upon whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easy, then he makes it easy. And then it is said that you should believe in Allah, mean become Muslim. Have all the beliefs of Islam, which is the root of every ibadat. Because without faith, without iman, there is no ibadat. So the root of every ibadat is iman, Islam. So become Muslim. And don't worship anyone other than Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal means don't even go near any blasphemy, any kufr, any shirk, because that will destroy every good thing that you have done. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is teaching Sahaba Ikram the basics of faith. And then it's mentioned about salat, that you should perform 5 times daily salat, because that is an establishment of salat. Reading occasionally is not an establishment of salat. Once a year fast in the month of Ramadan, and if you are sahib nisab, then every year you pay your poor due, which is zakat. And if you can undertake the journey, if you can afford the journey of Hajj once in your lifetime, you must go for Hajj. So here the faraid are mentioned, all the farz duties are mentioned. And then extra ibadat are mentioned, which are referred as those of khair. It's like fasting. Because roza, fasting, destroys the carnal desires. It destroys the nafs. And nafs is the biggest obstacle in the path of ibadat. So when you overcome and defeat the nafs, the ibadat of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal will become easy. Because the stopper is no more there, the obstacle is no more there. So you need to fight against the carnal desires. And roza is being mentioned, fasting is being mentioned as a shield, that it protects you from the arrows and from the bullets of shaitan and the nafs. because they want to engage you in bad things, in the wrong things, in evils, in sins. But fasting, the roza protects you. And then the second thing which is mentioned is khairat, is charities, giving in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. It is ibadat on its own, and then the poor get benefit out of it. Poor people's need is fulfilled. And this is indeed an ibadat. This is a type of worship which helps the most to reduce sins and clean your book of deeds from evil activities. It's a very great thing that those people, those Muslims, have a habit of charity, the charitable. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, they will be surprised on the day of judgment that they have done a great favor upon themselves. The person who is kind upon the people, Allah is kind upon them. And then the third thing which is mentioned as a door of goodness is tahajjud. This is one of the greatest ibadat, which is optional. Of course, it was fard upon beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but it is not fard upon us. For us, it's optional, but it has a very great reward. And this ibadat helps to undertake the spiritual journey, and it makes that spiritual journey very easy. You can perform tahajjud after you sleep, after Isha Salat you sleep. You can perform tahajjud immediately. So sleeping after Isha Salat is condition for tahajjud to be performed. If you did not sleep and you remain up the whole night, you would not be allowed to perform tahajjud. If you read your nawafil, it would not be counted as tahajjud. And it is also sunnah to sleep after performing tahajjud, as our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do that. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, from this hadith mubarakah, we have learned some beautiful principles, and at the end it's being said about the tongue. As in Urdu we say, pehle tolo baad mein bolo. So this is what is being said in this hadith mubarakah. Think before you speak. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us two hands, two legs, two eyes, two ears, everything, two. But Allah gave us one tongue only. You know why? So we can speak less and do more. So all those things which are there to do, they are double. And this is one thing which is to speak, it's single. So that means you should speak less and do more. But unfortunately, we do the opposite, that we speak more and we do less. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give us that understanding, and we can see the wisdom behind this beautiful Madani pearl which I have presented, why Allah gave us one tongue. And give us this tawfiq that we start speaking less, because on the journey of tasawwuf and ruhaniya and tariqah, speaking less is the big help, and person reaches his destination very quickly if he sleeps less, and if he eats less, and if he speaks less. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and chance to practice upon these beautiful teachings of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May we stay in touch with this beautiful mahal and environment of Dawat Islami. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let Dawat Islami grow in every part and the corner of this world. Allah karam aisa kare tujh pe jahan mein, ay Dawat Islami, teri dhoom machi ho. Ameen, bijahin nabil ameen, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salatun wa salaman alayka ya sayyidi ya rasulallah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya habiballah.
Mubalik for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success share. Mubalik for you is my ascending success state.